All right. Well, thank you, Justin, for leading that song this morning. And we're going to key off of that song today as we think about the lyrics of that song and then as we look at the Bible teaching in relationship to those lyrics. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning, and we're glad that you're with us. And if you've been visiting with us, then we certainly are glad you're here as well also. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19 to begin our lesson this morning as we think about "There is sunshine in my soul." Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19. In this particular verse, Isaiah is writing about the coming kingdom that is going to eclipse all of the problems and difficulties that national Israel had in the Old Testament. And he says about this coming kingdom these words: "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory." Well, and when we think about this song, "There is sunshine in my soul," it's really talking about Jesus and Him being our Lord and God and giving light to our lives. And so as we think about this and thinking about Isaiah's reflection upon this particular future, the future events that he was prophesying about that would happen in the kingdom, we see that the sun or the moon really is not going to be relevant anymore in this kingdom. And that's because those who are in the kingdom are going to have another source of light. And that source is going to be God Himself. The song "There is Sunshine in My Soul" was written by Eliza E. Hewitt in 1887. It was then put to music by John R. Sweeney. And we are beneficiaries of this wonderful hymn. And it reflects some great truths that we find in the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament. So this morning we're going to look at this idea that there is sunshine in my soul. We're going to see that that sunshine is, first of all, the light of Jesus. Secondly, it is the song of Jesus. And then finally, it is the joy of Jesus. And we have Jesus' light, Jesus' song, and Jesus' joy within our lives, then we can sing, "There is sunshine in my soul." You know, this song is about Christian joy and living a good Christian life and recognizing that every day is a day filled with sunshine. And that is a wonderful thing when you are a Christian. There is sunshine in my soul. First of all, the light of Jesus. You know, light is a metaphor for different things, for truth and morality. And when we look at the lyrics of this song, we're thinking about light and how it shines in our life and guides us and helps us to walk in a good way, to live in a good way. There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. You know, when the sun goes down at night and the moon comes up, and some evenings when we have a new moon, there is no moonlight at all, it gets pretty dark outside. But when we think about who we are as individuals, as Christians, our life does not depend upon the light that shines outside. You know, there's other people in this world who don't live a very good moral life, and it's only during the light of day, you know, metaphorically, when everyone can see what they're doing, that they live in a right way. But when night comes and they believe that they're hidden or obscured from others, then they start to do the wickedness and the evil that they do. And of course, that's not the life of a Christian. The life of a Christian has Jesus' light shining in him at all times, whether it's daytime, whether it's nighttime, whether it's evening, whether it's morning, and that light shines brighter than even the sun, even the moon, and all of those things. You say, well, how is that possible? Because that light is what guides our life. And at every single moment, that light affects me greater than that sunshine does, or than the moonlight does, or than the darkness does. And that's the light of Jesus in my life. Light, again, is a metaphor. And when we have the light of Jesus working in our life, then our path is illuminated. That is, our moral path is illuminated so that we can see where we are going morally. Why is that so important? Because if we cannot see where we are going morally, we're going to run into moral problems. And those moral problems are going to create difficulties with other people. And then those difficulties are going to create further difficulties, maybe even with society itself. And we'll end up in a bad situation. But Jesus brings us light. That means He brings us truth. He brings us morality. And through Him, we can see how God created the world to really work. And in that way, see a clear, straight path for us to follow. And we want to follow that path as we live for God and Christ. John wrote, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So there is this great difference then between those who are walking in the light, following Jesus, and those who are not walking in the light, but walking in darkness. When we think about light, the light of Jesus, we also want to remember that the light of Jesus tells us who Jesus is as well. Jesus wasn't just a human being alone. He wasn't like we are in the sense that we're just ordinary folks. Jesus was God in the flesh. And because of that, His life was extraordinary. His life was significant. Being God in the flesh, then, He gives us the perfect example how we are to live. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." When we remember who Jesus is, that brings the light of Jesus to our life. And then when we think about the light of Jesus, we should be thinking about what Jesus teaches us. Not only that we have truth and morality through Jesus, not only do we have Jesus' identity, that He was God and His example then provides for our walk as well, but that He has taught us some things. And we need to look to Jesus' teachings in order to live our life correctly. You know, Jesus said the first and great commandment was this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, if Jesus had just said that, we would be good with that. We would say, okay, let's just love everybody. But then there might be some disagreements on how to do that, right? One person might say, well, I love somebody by doing this. And another person might say, well, I love people by doing just the opposite of that. And how would we know which one was right and which one was wrong? Well, we wouldn't if He had just said, love everybody like that. But not only did He say that, He also gave us very specific teaching on how to live our life so that we can know when we do one thing that we're loving our neighbor as ourselves versus, say, doing the opposite of that, the Bible says don't do that, then we know that's not loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so the Bible gives us specific teaching to help us to learn how to love one another. That's part of the light of Jesus in our life. And we have sunshine in our soul when that light is in our life because we're listening to the teaching. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. And if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. 1 John 1 7. But look, we've got to walk in the light. We've got to abide in the light. How do we do that? By listening to the specific teaching that Jesus has given us. And that's important that we remember that. The light of Jesus is what Jesus teaches. And that is what we must follow when we live for Him. And God's light is eternal. And that wonderful eternal light is going to be with us even when this life is over. And that's such a wonderful thought because it prepares, letting God's light work in our life right now prepares us to live with God forever. And that's what we want to do. Let that light live within our life so we can live with Him forever. And there will be no night. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22 and verse 5. And so, as we're thinking about this song, let us remember that there is sunshine in my soul because of the light of Jesus. But secondly, we think about there being sunshine in my soul, we think about the song of Jesus. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. You know, when I think about the song of Jesus, I'm thinking about practical application of Christian living. That's the song of Jesus. That's the real song of Jesus. There's another song. We're not analyzing it particularly this morning, but it starts off, you are the words and the music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to your name I will bring. Jesus is the song. And we live that song each and every day. And the word song here is being used in a metaphorical way to stand for how we live our life. And when we live according to the song of Jesus, guess what happens? There are beautiful harmonies that then take place in the world. Well, I've got to say something about yesterday just a little bit because yesterday was my 28th anniversary. And many of you celebrated Mary Lynn and I's anniversary with us on Facebook. And that was great. And we had a great day yesterday. It was just so fun. And we had a tremendous day. And I just want to thank everybody for helping us to celebrate our anniversary, virtually speaking, that is. And it was great. But I want to use that kind of as an illustration, you know, of harmonious living. When you're doing what God wants you to do, and when you live right, and when you do the things that you do, say, me as a husband, her as a wife, me as a father, her as a mother, when all of that is working together and you're following the Lord's will, it makes for a beautiful melody. All right? It makes a beautiful melody. And there's harmonies that each of us can then bring into other people's lives so that we complement one another and things just work together in a beautiful way when that happens. In addition to that, we'll have a wonderful, clear conscience, and we won't be thinking about things that are bothering us because of our own sins, and we'll be able to live for the Lord in a sincere and wonderful way. Think about what Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. And this is what we were talking about in this point, is that Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth there, he said, we conducted ourselves in such a way so that we were sincere and that our consciences were clear. And when you have that sincerity and clear conscience in your life, life is a beautiful thing to live. And there's wonderful thoughts of joy and peace and happiness. And life then can be seen as being a wonderful song. You are the words in the music. You are the song that I sing. Oh yes, there is sunshine in my soul today, a melody to my King. What a beautiful thought that we can live that harmonious life. Paul wrote, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Philippians 1, verse 27. That's harmonious living. That's spirit guided living by the word of God. Yes, peaceful living. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Again, here is a picture of living that is melodious and beautiful. One more verse, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Quiet and peaceful life. You know, that's really what we want. Satan tries to deceive us. He tries to come in and he tries to say, your life is boring. Go out and make something happen by committing sin. And then you go out and sin, and guess what? Your life isn't quiet and peaceful anymore, that's for sure. It's now filled with all kinds of drama and all kinds of problems and all kinds of difficulties. Why? Because you didn't aspire to lead the quiet and peaceable life that God says is great living. You didn't try to sing that song that was Jesus. Instead, you sang the song of the devil. And what happened? You got in trouble. Well, when we step back and we think about music and singing songs, when music is working together in the right way, it is beautiful. And it is wonderful. And that's the kind of life that we want to live. The song of Jesus. Jesus is the song that we sing. Colossians 3, verses 10 through 11. Put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's let that new man live within us and sing the song of Jesus. But then finally, as we think about there being sunshine in our souls, that sunshine is the joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus. And this comes from clean living and gladness and understanding that when we live according to the Word of God, we can have wonderful joy in our life. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which He gives me now, for joys laid up above. Two things, blessings that He gives me now, and joys that are yet in the future. And when we think about those two things, when we count our blessings, and we remember that we're on the way to heaven, our life can be filled with great joy. This is the joy of Jesus. Gladness, hope, praise, love, these things work together to bring us joy. We have to ask ourselves when we're feeling bad, well, why are we feeling so bad? What is it that's preventing our joy from happening? You know, I read something the other day. It said something to this effect. Worry doesn't prevent bad things from happening. Worry only prevents you from having joy. Think about that. That's true. Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 6. He said, you can't add one hair to your head by worrying. You can't add one inch to your height by worrying. Worrying accomplishes nothing, except that instead of being happy, you're now upset because of your worrying. And so worrying only prevents joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. And where does that joy come from? John said it the best here in 3 John 1 and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's a connection there between walking in truth and having joy in your life. Now we need to know this connection, because if we're not having a joy-filled life, there's a reason for it. And we need to find out what that reason is so that we can eliminate that and have a joy-filled life. Walking in truth is what brings us true joy, and we need to walk in the Lord's truth. But not only do we have this connection between walking in truth, but we have joy because, as the song says, of the things laid up above, our hope of salvation. And the Bible talks about this wonderful hope in passages such as 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Whom, having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you want to fight depression, if you want to fight pain and suffering, if you want to fight the difficulties that we face in life on a daily basis, take a moment every day and remind yourself that you are on the way to heaven. All right? Just take a moment. Most things, and when I say most, I mean 99.99999% of the things that we deal with out there really are not all that important. Okay? They're really not. They're really not. But we let ourselves get worked up over the littlest of things. And when we do that, we rob ourselves of our joy. We need to step back and take some perspective on things. And that's why I say, every day, remind yourself, I am on my way to heaven. And guess what? That puts things in perspective. Now you know exactly how important this paperwork is, right? When you remember that you're on your way to heaven, that paperwork doesn't seem nearly as important as it did a few minutes ago. When you remember that you're on your way to heaven, this little problem that's going on between you and somebody else doesn't seem nearly as important as it did a minute ago. When you remind yourself that you're on your way to heaven, that little problem that, yes, you created, yes, it was a problem and you created it, but you realize that and you're working to change it now, it's not nearly as important as it used to be when you remind yourself you're on the way to heaven. And if we will remember that, that's what the Bible is telling us here. We have joy, inexpressible. Why? Because we're going to heaven. And that's a wonderful thought. Romans 5 and verse 2, Paul says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a brother to the King. I'm part of the royal family. I'm on my way to heaven, And I'm not going to let anything else get in my way. And guess what? Your bad attitude, I'm not talking to y'all necessarily, okay? I'm talking to the person out there who has a bad attitude, all right? Guess what? Your bad attitude doesn't mean that I have to have one myself, does it? Nope. I can look at you and I can smile and I can say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or no, sir, or no, ma'am, and go on my merry way. Because guess what? Your problems aren't my problems. And what I mean by that is I don't have to adopt your problems that have put you in a bad attitude. Whoever you is, not necessarily you out there that I'm talking to, but the person that you're interacting with, whoever that is, I don't have to adopt your problems. Now, if you want help, you can come to me and ask for help, and I'm going to help you. But guess what you're going to get? You're going to get this, because that's where the help comes from. That's the true help right there. Not what you think is going to help, but what God says is going to help. And when God says it's going to help, guess what? It's going to help. And how do I know it's going to help? Because He made it all. He made this world. He made everything. He knows what really helps. I don't necessarily know that. You don't necessarily know that. And that's why we get everything all twisted up and in a knot sometimes, because we're not listening to the right help. The joy of Jesus, hope of salvation. There is sunshine in my soul today, and hope and praise and love for blessings which He gives me now, for joys laid up above. We have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Philippians 1 and verse 7. The joy of Jesus also manifests itself through other people. Now, if you want your life to be revolutionized, this point will revolutionize it. It will change your life forever when you finally see the truth of other people. Other people are not the source of our problems. You know, that's what the world wants you to think. That's what the devil wants you to think. So he can drive a wedge between you and other people. All right? Other people are not the source of our problems. Other people, though, are the source of our joy. You say, well, how can that be when my boss is in my face yelling at me because I didn't do the right thing or something? Well, again, I don't have to adopt his problems. But guess what? He can be a source of my joy. How is that? When I provide a good example to him, when I have an opportunity to talk to him about the gospel, when I have an opportunity to do what's right, he can be the source of my joy. I met a guy the other day who didn't have a very good attitude. And when I came into face-to-face with him, I kind of realized there was something off about him, and then somebody else came up to me and said he really doesn't have a very good attitude. That's not exactly the way they told me, but I'm putting it like that to be nice. All right? But that's what happened. He didn't really have a good... I reflected on that a little bit, and I thought, you know what? I was having a really good day, and so I was like, I'm not going to let him ruin my day. But he can be the source of my joy. How is he the source of my joy? By reminding me who I am. And who I serve. And what relationship is really important. My relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, I love that guy. He doesn't know it, but I do. And I would relish an opportunity to talk to him, because I could tell just by the few things that he said to me that he was a pretty miserable guy. And I feel sorry for that guy. And I hope that he has an opportunity maybe to change in the future. Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? You. And now I am talking about you who are here this morning, all right? I'm talking about you now. You are my joy. You are my joy. And that's because you're a fellow saint. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're beloved of the Father. You are my joy. And one day when we all get to heaven together and we're there and we look around at one another, we're going to understand what the true treasure really was. It wasn't all those earthly things that we worked so hard to get, you know, the sofas and the couches and the TVs and the living rooms and the cars and the garages and the houses and the lands and all of that stuff. It wasn't that. It wasn't all the things that we worked so hard to build, you know, in this life, the business and the relationships, the business relationships is what I'm talking about, you know, and the contacts and the money flow and the propagation, you know, of commerce and capital and all of that. No, it wasn't any of that. No, it wasn't that. What will it be? It will be me. It will be you and all the others who are there in heaven together looking at each other and realizing we were there for one another that whole time. We got one another through it, and now we're here together to experience this wonderful place that you are my joy. You are my joy. And Paul will look at us and he will say, you are my joy. And we will look at fellow Christians and we will say, you are my joy. And on that day, we will understand what the true treasure really was. That true treasure is one another. And that's what we need to be treasuring up right now. You are the words and the music. You're the song that I sing. Jesus is that song. There is sunshine in my soul today. Oh, what a beautiful song this is. Sunshine of light. Jesus is my light. He's my truth. He's my moral compass. Jesus is my song. He helps me to live a beautiful life, a harmonious life with others. A life filled with His teaching on how to live and how to love. Jesus is my joy. A life beyond just survival. A life that is truly living. The abundant life. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you want that abundant life? Do you want to be part of this great fellowship of Christians who are going to heaven? Maybe this morning you're thinking, you know what? I'm not sure that I'm part of that fellowship. I'm not sure I am a Christian. What do I need to do to become a child of God? Well, Jesus has told us what we need to do. Aren't you glad that He didn't leave us without instruction? He gave us some specific instructions on what to do. You've got to hear His word and believe it. Repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And guess what? As soon as you do that, you're on your way to heaven. And guess what? You are our joy at that moment and forevermore. Why? Because when we get to heaven and we look at your face and you look at our face, we are going to rejoice in one another. You are the true treasure and we want you to be part of God's family. So why not respond to His invitation this morning to become His child? Maybe you as a Christian need the prayers of the church because there's not been a lot of joy or sunshine or love or light in your life lately, and you want that back. And now is a good time to ask for those prayers, to ask for help, and to get things in the right perspective so that you don't get overwhelmed by all the grief and sorrow and anger and all the other things that the world wants to bring in. Let your life be filled with joy again. And you can ask for those prayers this morning as well. Whatever your need may be, won't you come down and let it be known while together we stand and while we sing.